Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Today is an encouraging day. We learned that the economy actually produced a substantial number of jobs instead of losing a substantial number of jobs. We are beginning to turn the corner.
The new, beaming, shiny, even if lower poll rated, President of the United States, Barack Obama, speaking there. Did you happen to read Frank Rich and his New York Times column yesterday where he collected a handful of quotes from political journalists about a change in President Obama's demeanor since health reform passed? A steam in his stride, said Chris Matthews. He's gone from Jimmy Carter to FDR in just a fortnight, said Mark Halperin, author of Game Change, things like that. Is the president acting differently with a health reform law under his belt? And will it mean anything for the rest of us? Let's ask ABC News senior White House correspondent Jake Tapper, who is at the White House right now. Hi, Jake. Welcome back to WNYC.
Thanks, Brian. Great to be here.
Are you seeing this steam in his stride or anything new since the health reform law?
I tend not to study his stride or pay as much attention to the pundits as some would. I tend just to look at what he's doing. And, you know, I still think you see a kind of a balanced approach. I think without question, he feels more confident about what he's going to be able to do for the rest of the year because of his victory in health care reform. And for that, I mean, financial regulatory reform and perhaps a feeling that he can get what he wants in that bill without weakening it further, so that there still would be a consumer financial protection agency that would be independent, and the Fed would still have new powers to go into a financial institution and liquidate it if they felt it needed to be. But at the same time, you look at, say, the recess appointments that President Obama made after health care reform passed. There's 15 appointments, which is the same number that George W. Bush did at that point in his presidency. And while one or two of them were somewhat controversial, especially Craig Becker to the National Labor Relations Board, he had already lost a vote in the Senate. Not everybody who was controversial that he could have recess appointed did he. Specifically, Don Johnson, who is up for a position in the Justice Department, he did not recess appoint her. So there was some confidence, but I would not say that he has a strut in his step, as whoever you quoted suggested.
The word was always that after health reform passed, the president would turn attention overwhelmingly toward creating jobs from now through the November election. Is that still the plan?
You know, Brian, I've reported at least five or six times as the White House correspondent for ABC News that the White House says that they are preparing for a hard pivot to focus on jobs. I've been doing that since last fall, it just feels like at this point when I do it, I have to say I've said this before. Yes, they're talking about jobs, but to a large degree, there's a lot of other issues going on. He's going to Prague later this week to sign that disarmament treaty with Russia. When he gets back, there's the nuclear conference that they're having here in Washington, D.C. Obviously, there have been a number of issues, including financial regulatory reform that President Obama wants passed sometime in the next few weeks. Certainly, he wants it signed into law before the second anniversary of the collapse of Lehman Brothers on September 15th. So, yes, they want to be talking about jobs, and yes, when I hosted this week yesterday morning, economic advisor Larry Summers wanted to talk about jobs, but there is a lot of other stuff going on, and I think I've got to stop saying that the White House is preparing for a hard pivot to jobs, because it's just repetitious.
It's not proving out. And I want to play a clip of Summers with you and Alan Greenspan with you from yesterday. But listeners, you be the pundit or you be the citizens. Do you see something different about President Obama's actions in office? And obviously it's not about strut in his step in the way that, you know, somebody might say casually. It's about what he's doing and what he's trying to accomplish, and whether you think that is changing or should change in your own opinion. after the success of passing the health reform law. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. Give us a call or post to WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. We have Jake Tapper, ABC News senior White House correspondent. And here's a little of what Summers, the president's economics advisor, said yesterday on ABC This Week about the 162,000 jobs the economy added last month. Definitely a piece of good news coming out on Friday morning.
We are in no position to rest or to be complacent just because of this jobs report. That's why the president thought it was so important to sign into law the incentive program 2 weeks ago that allows the waiver of payroll taxes for companies that hire an unemployed person. That's why the president is pushing for spending on new construction projects, new infrastructure projects. That's why we've got to focus particularly on small business at this point.
So, Jake, I guess my question is that all they got to crow about at the policy level, pushing on spending on new construction projects, focusing particularly on small business without saying what or how? It doesn't sound like, you know, a hard pivot or a soft pivot to anything that's really going to make headlines or that they're going to claim is going to broadly affect people's lives at the jobs level.
As of now, that's all we know about. I mean, there are certainly other measures that they're working on in terms of more modest reforms to encourage small businesses, especially to try to create jobs. But as of now, I mean, they have already spent a lot of money in the stimulus package, and then there was a jobs bill that was signed into law not long ago. There has already been efforts to create jobs, and at some point, these bills need to take effect, I think, before they can start coming up with other ones. But the administration wants to be seen constantly as on the job, as concerned about this. You're never going to hear them crowing about these jobs numbers until employment is back to where it was, you know, years ago. So, and that's not likely to happen in this first term, assuming that there is a second one.
Because all they've really done is get this jobs bill passed by Congress with a little Republican support even, which was notable, but it gives a few tax credits for certain kinds of job creation. And yet that was small by everybody's standards.
That's right, and in fact, there are other measures that the Senate is taking up. That, remember, there was a much bigger package that Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid scrapped and said he was just going to do it piece by piece, and that was the jobs bill that the president signed a couple weeks ago. I think there will be smaller efforts here and there, but one thing that the administration does feel good about is the fact that they, you know, that bar graph that some have likened to a bikini bottom that shows that that the economy was losing jobs significantly, and then once the stimulus bill passed, it started the numbers started going in the right direction. As long as those numbers still are going in the right direction, they feel that the American people, as long as they convey that to them, will feel better about the direction that the economy is going in. But you're right. I mean, you know, look, if you take the 162,000 jobs that were created in March, you remove the 48,000 that were temporary census jobs, that's 114,000. You need to create about 100,000 jobs a month just to tread water, just to stay even. So this is not any resounding success by any stretch. On the other hand, it's certainly better than losing 750,000 jobs a month, which is where we were not long ago.
Calvin in the Bronx, you're on WNYC. Hi, Calvin.
Hey, how are you?
Good. What's up?
Enjoy your show, by the way.
Thank you very much.
I think that the president should have a little pep in his step at this point. I think he deserves it, particularly the beating that he took from the Republicans on the health care initiative. And I'm happy to see that he's got a win under his belt. Hopefully now he can go ahead and really start to work on the job situation.
Anything that you want to see him to do on the job situation?
Yeah, I want to see more construction jobs created. I'm in construction management, and the guys and the gals are really taking a beating in this industry. So,
Calvin,
I'd like to see that.
Thank you. And that was referenced in the Larry Summers clip that we played, Jake, when he says that's why the president is pushing on spending on new construction projects. What is that specifically?
The reference to construction projects is money in the jobs bill that President Obama recently signed into law that puts more investments in in infrastructure. But you know, there are still billions in infrastructure dollars that are on there that have been designated, but are still going out the door from the stimulus bill, and so that is part of the recovery already. But you know, one of the biggest problems when you dive deeper into these numbers is well, twofold. One, the number of Americans who have given up looking for work, that's at about 17%, and then the unemployment number goes up to about 17% if you include them in. Mm-hmm. And then the other thing is the number of Americans who have been unemployed for more than 7 months, and that's 6.5 million. And a concern that people like Alan Greenspan and others have is when people like that are out of the workforce for so long, they are losing skill sets, and that becomes a big issue down the road. And so that's a much more long-term problem than just getting people out to the construction sites. If you're not on the job, then you're falling behind in terms of how competitive you can be. That's a much larger term, longer term jobs problem.
And later in our program today, we'll be talking about black men being so hard hit by joblessness, including in that long-term unemployed category. According to the guest who have coming in, has the White House addressed this directly, as far as you know, in racial terms?
No, they have not. I mean, and it's been brought up, not publicly anyway, as far as I can recall. It certainly is brought up, and it's certainly something I shouldn't say that. President Obama has talked about how minority communities have been hit particularly hard, but this isn't like an emphasis of the administration that they need to get Latin American workers back to work, African American workers back to work. It's more of just a wholesale, all of America needs to start, and we need to get jobs back on the table for all of them. This is something that comes up a great deal when President Obama is criticized, either publicly or privately, by members of the Congressional Black Caucus or others who are concerned that he is not addressing the specific issue about how minority communities have been hit hardest, although it is true, of course, that during recession, minority communities are almost always hit hardest.
Jake Tapper, ABC News, senior White House correspondent with us. Matt in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Matt.
Hey. I was just thinking that Obama's opening of the offshore drilling was a pretty bold move. It's something that he did right after he signed the health care reform, and I just thought that was very interesting. It was unexpected, and I thought that was just kind of a cool thing for him to do.
Matt, thank you. And Jake, I think we were seeing at least three of the president's more conservative policies on display last week, advertently or inadvertently. The offshore oil drilling proposal, as Matt mentions, the continuation of President Bush's state secrets claim that was overturned by the U.S. Supreme Court on the warrantless surveillance program. Obama had continued the Bush claim that the courts could not even hear such a case. And the race to the top education grants, given only to states that are willing to go against the teachers' union in several ways, including expanding charter schools and tying teacher pay to student performance. Do all of these...
Although, Brian, we should just to interject. I mean, the states that won did have the teachers' unions on board. So it was. I agree with you that there is a counterintuitive taking on the teachers' unions, trying some experiments. But the two states that won, I believe it was Tennessee and Delaware,
yes,
had the teachers' unions' blessings to a degree.
Yeah, but the fact that New York and a whole host of other states that couldn't get the teachers' unions on board therefore got nothing from Washington puts pressure, on that whole situation. So I'm just curious if you think that all of these policies add up to anything in defining this presidency, or if it was more than a coincidence, except in the case of the Supreme Court ruling, that these things happen right after the so-called liberal health reform bill, or are they just a few loose ends that are anomalies?
I think that the White House would like to be, I mean, President Obama is clearly ideologically a liberal, but at the same time, there is a pragmatism to him and to his beliefs. And he has, from the beginning, been willing to talk about alternatives to the Democratic dogma of the Democratic traditional dogma of education and exploring charter schools and the like. And his selection of Arne Duncan to be education secretary is evidence of that. I think that you're onto something in the sense that he has been willing to go outside the traditional Democratic dogma on other issues too, including a cautious step in the direction of offshore oil drilling, allowing drilling 50 miles off the coast of Virginia, allowing exploration in other states in the Atlantic. But keep in mind, he did continue the ban on drilling in the Pacific. And this isn't as far as, for instance, a President Palin would have gone in terms of what was allowed. But it is a step in that direction, and I think you're right. But he's been doing that from the very beginning. I mean, there are Republicans in this administration, Transportation Secretary Ray LaHood. The Secretary of the Army, John McHugh, is a former Republican congressman. And so there is this, I don't want to call it a feint, but there is this lean to the right on some issues, willing to deal with Republicans on some issues. But at the same time, it's hard to argue that he is embracing a Republican or even necessarily a centrist approach to energy, although that's certainly how they're trying to make it cast with both the offshore drilling and, of course, loan guarantees for the two new nuclear reactors in Georgia, the first since the Three Mile Island incident in 1979.
Jake Tapper, ABC News, senior White House correspondent, my guest. He hosted ABC This Week yesterday. And, Jake, I like the part where you asked Alan Greenspan if Ayn Rand-style capitalism has disproved itself after the banking crisis. Let me play that clip for our listeners. This begins with Jake's question.
When you testified before Congress in October, you said that you finally saw a flaw in the way that you looked at markets, that markets cannot necessarily be trusted to completely police themselves. But isn't it more than a flaw? Isn't it an indictment of Ayn Rand and the view that laissez-faire capitalism can be expected to function properly, that markets can be trusted to police themselves?
Not at all. I think that there is no alternative if you want to have economic growth and higher standards of living in a democratic society to have competitive markets. The major mistake was assuming what the nature of risks would be. And the reason it was missed is we had no experience of the type of risks that arose following the default of Lehman Brothers in September 2008.
Alan Greenspan, the former Fed chairman. Jake, did you get the answer you were looking for there on Ayn Rand?
I actually had a video clip prepared of Ayn Rand talking about how she believed in the separation of government and economy, but we were running out of time, and I didn't know how many viewers I was going to lose with the Ayn Rand reference to begin with. I think that arguably, I think maybe a lot of people... I'm trying to say this as diplomatically as I can. Probably a lot of people would have thought that Greenspan's view of economics would have been shaken more than it was by the... I mean, if you look at what happened with the subprime mortgage crisis and Fannie and Freddie, and nothing functioned properly. And it wasn't just like regulators made a mistake. In some cases, regulators were not regulating, with the derivatives market in particular, in no small part because of Greenspan and Summers and Rubin. I think there are much larger questions. But, you know, the truth of the matter is that even with a 10-minute interview, which is what we had with Alan Greenspan, they're so deep you can get.
Yeah, I guess. I saw that you tweeted that moment of the show. Did it get a lot of chatter going?
For Ayn Rand groupies, I think, you know, which is what I'm going for.
Of course. All right. We just have a couple of minutes left. Let's do a couple of just quick...
By the way, Brian, I don't know if you knew this. Ayn Rand's real name?
Yes.
Alyssa Rosenbaum.
No, get out of here.
Swear to God.
I never knew that. Why did she change it?
I don't know.
We will have to.
I need to learn more about Ayn Rand.
We will have to go to someone.
I'm just happy that I pronounced Ayn right.
That's it's a good start. People never know what to do with that Y. quick hits before you go on a couple of things. In fact, following up on that, I think the Ayn Randers in Washington say government can't do much to create jobs anyway, except to lower taxes. Are we going to see a big fight coming this year over whether to let those Bush tax cuts on the top few percent expire?
I think so. I think that the Republican sense that that's going to be a big issue, and especially as we get closer and closer to Election Day. President Obama has mathematically is counting on those Bush tax cuts expiring on the wealthiest Americans. So I think he's going to try to make the argument that it really only affects a small percentage of the population, but Republicans, I think, are going to make a big point of saying you don't raise taxes during a recession, and this recession is continuing, even if technically we've bottomed out.
And I saw the news about the president checking the black box for race on his census form rather than reflect his mixed race lineage from a black father and a white mother. Has he explained why he did it that way?
No. I don't think he's done many interviews since then. It was funny because the White House put out that photograph. They let us know, because they're trying to encourage all Americans to fill out their census forms, they let us know the night before this photograph was going to be posted overnight so that we could put it in our newspapers and on our morning shows. And then when we did the follow-up questions, what box did he check? Because as you rightly put, he could have checked black and white. He could have checked a third category. He could have done any number of things. They waited. It was very difficult to get them to answer that question. And then finally we got the answer like 15 minutes before World News aired. So we did finally get the answer. But no, we haven't found out why. I guess it's a personal thing, and we'll see who the first reporter willing to go there is.
And today the president throws out the first ball at the Nationals game on opening day. Do you get to cover that one?
I do not. Only the pool reporters do, and the pool reporter today is NBC, so they'll be there. I particularly regret it because I'm a huge Phillies fan, that will be, of course, the Phillies will beat the Nationals during that game this evening, and I look forward to watching it on TV at the very least.
Then you must be in mourning about Donovan McNabb.
I'm not. Like many Philadelphians, I had very mixed emotions about Donovan McNabb, and I know now my friends who root for the Redskins will have broken hearts, at least for the next couple
just,
years,
just like
as,
you did.
As Eagles fans did.
But did you hear the Jimmy Kimmel line that after Obama throws out the first pitch, Biden gets to make the first error?
Yeah, I think we used it in the Sunday Funnies.
That's probably where I saw it, actually. Okay, there you go. I got it from you, and you got it from Jimmy Kimmel. Jake Tapper, ABC News Senior White House Correspondent. Thank you so much. We appreciate
it. Anytime, Brian. Thanks so much.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. And coming up in just a minute, we will talk to Nina Bernstein from The New York Times. She's going to report. She did report and actually helped to get some action taken on why some Haitians were detained by the U.S. government even after arriving in a military airlift after the earthquake. Stay with us.